Let me pray this morning. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for another day when it's not raining and the sun is shining. Father, thank you for another moment to gather together as the church. And Father, whatever else is going on in our world, you are still on the throne, God. You are still living. You are still working in our lives. Maybe I can't see it. Maybe I don't feel it, but you're always working, God. And so thank you for that this morning as we have gathered here. Thank you that you are working. We know that. We know that you are working. We might not be able to see it, and we might not be able to feel it, but we know that you are working. We know that great is your faithfulness. We know that we can face tomorrow because Jesus lives. Father, thank you for that reality. Thank you for that truth this morning. Thank you for the security that we have in Christ when our world is so shaken. Thank you for the foundation, the faithfulness, and the love of God. Thank you for that security that we have in Christ. And Father, I pray that you would just rain down on us today. That you would just pour out your grace and your mercy and your love on us today. And Father, that we would know, and each individual car around this parking lot would know that the hand of God is set on them. And that you are here this morning. That you are working in our lives. That you are drawing us close to yourself. And Father, I would pray that you would be honored and glorified. That even as those that drive by would wonder what in the world is going on. And even in their moments as they're going by, you would speak to them and you would draw them close to yourself. Father, be honored and glorified by us gathering here today. And Father, may you be exalted today on this day that we celebrate the resurrection. When we celebrate that the hand of God reached through all of the tension and all of the power that this world and the spiritual world can muster. And it could not stop you from raising Jesus from the dead. Father, I thank you so much for that truth. And Father, may we live. And may we live, and may we live. And may we live in the presence of Jesus day in and day out. May no fear be able to get in on us. May no oppression be able to get in on us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. So Father, thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When we get back inside, I am going to install horn buttons on every chair. I kind of like that, so everybody will have a horn button. Yeah, well, we're just gonna let it loose sometimes because I think that's just necessary. And I think about that when they were walking around the walls of Jericho and they were blowing the horns and they were worshiping God and the walls came down from Jericho between God and God's promise and God's people. The walls fell down, and I think there's something about that. Maybe we just ought to drive around in a big circle, just blowing our horns this morning, and just let the walls come down between what God has for us and where we're at, that God would pour out his provision on us. We started a journey last week talking about the cross. We talked about the Jesus unlocking the love of God last week. We talked about the journey that he had to take, and we picked it up last week. The mission was not ours. It was Jesus's last week. Jesus carried the mission last week, and as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That's in Luke 9:51. And we started there last week, and Jesus knew that he wanted to unlock the love of God, and it was time. The time has come for him to unlock that love of God. Because God loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him could experience this love, but the love had to be unlocked. And the love had to be unlocked by Jesus going through the steps and through turning the combination, if you will, and getting it and going to the cross and paying for the sins of mankind so God's love could be poured out on mankind. It was God who was unlocking the love, and Jesus the one who was carrying the burden. And it took Jesus, the process took Jesus to Jerusalem, where he had great determination, because he loves us, great determination to unlock the love of God. And it took him to Jerusalem, and it took him through the arrest, and through the trials, and through the betrayals, and the denials from his own people. And it took him to the cries from Hosanna to crucify. And it took him through the mocking and the beating. It took him to the cross and it took him to the tomb. Jesus had accomplished that. He said from the cross, it is finished. That means that God's love had been unlocked for all mankind to experience God's love. For whoever would believe would experience this love of God. And that love was that forgiveness and that salvation and that and an empowerment and that life and those things that God wanted to give us is all wrapped up in his love. We talked about that last week. But that was God, that was Jesus' mission last week. This week I want to pick it up pretty much where that one ends. Where that statement or that mission of Jesus ends. And it comes in Matthew 28 and it says this, after the Sabbath, which would have been ending Saturday, Friday night into Saturday, after the Sabbath they did, at dawn on the first day of the week, that was today, that was 1993 years ago, today, after Saturday night when the dawn came, Sunday morning when the dawn came, when the Mary Magdalene, who had been freed from the evil spirits that had been plaguing her and the abuse that she had been through and the diseases that she had because Jesus had touched her here on this earth, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which is probably the mother of James and John, the sons of thunder. So this woman who had been touched by God in a very powerful way and had freed her from all this oppression in her life, when it got morning, Easter Sunday morning, she was the first one, her and the mother of James and John, were going to the tomb. They were going to go and pay their respects. The Sabbath was over. They were going to go and pay their respects to the man who had changed their life on this earth. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was, in verses 2 and 3, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. They had an outdoor service too. Because they were at the tomb and the angel did not open up the tomb so Jesus could get out. He opened up the tomb so Mary and Mary could get in. So they could get at the evidence of what was going on and what God had done and what God was doing in their lives and in the life of Jesus. When Jesus had accomplished his mission on the cross and God raised him from the dead and the angel rolled back the stone so that he could have evidence, the first evidence that Jesus was alive. This is the first time we see the stone was rolled away. God sent an angel to roll back the stone so all mankind can see that their Savior lives. I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone because my Savior lives. Because he lives, and God wanted us to know that he is a living Savior. So much so that he sent an angel to the tomb. And he sent an angel to roll away the stone and to sit there and to give proclamation that Jesus was alive. 1993 years ago. Our Savior lives, New Lifers. Our Savior lives. Our world is upside down and we don't know which way it's going to happen tomorrow. But listen, our Savior lives and he lives and God wants us to know that so much so that he sent an angel to roll away the stone. And here comes Mary and Mary. The guard, verses 4 and 5, the guards were so afraid of him, the angel, that they shook and became like dead men. I'll guarantee you, somebody shows up out of the heavenlies like a bolt of lightning and moves a couple tons of stone and sits on it, and you're there witnessing it. You faint dead away is what happened to these guys. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Don't be afraid. Whatever else is going on around you, Mary and Mary, don't be afraid. And then he goes on to make this proclamation in verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. I would like to be the first one to be able to say that. I bet the angel was like, I drew the right straw. When it was all the angels and we all picked the straw, I got the job. I got the job to go down and roll away the stone. I got the job to sit there and wait for Mary Magdalene and Mary, this mother of James and John, to show up. I got the first one to say. I was the first one to say, he is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. See, the stone was open so that they could see. Verse 7 says, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen. What a privilege. What a privilege to be able to go tell the next person now. Go tell the next person. The angel says, I got to do it for you guys. Now I want you to do it for someone else. Go tell them that their Savior lives. Go tell them that Jesus is alive. That Jesus defeated death. That Jesus is living. That he is a living Savior. Go tell them. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid but yet filled with joy, and ran and to tell them his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, some guards went into the city to report to the chief priest everything that had happened. Can you imagine taking that news to the chief priest? Hey, can I come in and just say something? Hey, that guy you killed a couple days ago on the cross, you know, and we put him in the tomb and we rolled this big stone in front of him and he even sealed it so we can know if anybody kind of snuck in. We don't have to worry about if anybody snuck in and took him because the stone is gone. An angel came from heaven and he was like a bolt of lightning and half of the guards fell as if they were dead. Can you imagine taking that? Can you imagine taking that report back to the chief priest? Can you imagine the chief priest now scratching his head? Oh, great. Now what are we going to do? I thought this was over on Friday. I thought we accomplished what we were trying to accomplish in killing this guy on Friday. I thought when we nailed him to the cross and they took him off and he was dead, after they shoved the sword through and the spear through his ribs, and after he bled water and blood out of there, and after they pulled him down off there, beat to a pulp, and after they put him in the tomb and wrapped him in the cloth, and after they put the stone in front of him, and after they sealed it, I thought we were done with this. Oh, great, what do you mean that he has risen? Then the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan. And they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say this. His disciples came during the night and stole him away. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that's the best plan we got. Not that we had killed the living God, and that the living God loved us so much that he unlocked God's love to us and he is resurrected. No, let's just say that his disciples had dragged him away in the middle of the night because they want to perpetuate their false sense of belief that Jesus was the Messiah. Rather than saying Jesus is the Messiah, look what God did. Look what God has done. He unlocked his love. You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble, because if a soldier fell asleep on his watch and something bad happened, it cost him his own life. So don't worry, we're going to pay you. And if it gets back to your boss that this is what happened, that you fell asleep and allowed a handful of guys to come in and roll away this big stone and drag Jesus out, and if that gets back to anybody, we'll pay them. We'll bribe them as well. Don't worry. We're not asking you to surrender your life for our lie. We'll pay them as well. So we got a fund here. It's called bribery fund. And we've all put it into it so we can bribe those so they won't be harming you as well. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Meanwhile, in verses 16 and 18, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, or some were hesitant. I think that's a very powerful verse this morning, that some were hesitant, some worshipped, and some weren't quite ready yet, or quite convinced yet, perhaps, that this was Jesus. Is this really Jesus? And they continued to go closer and closer and closer to Jesus. And those that are worshiping, those that are doubt, and maybe that's us today. Maybe we're worshiping and maybe we're doubting, but we're all in the presence of Jesus. Which is perfect. I love that verse. And some worship and some doubt it, but they're all together with Jesus. And Jesus is okay with that. He's okay with the receiving the worship that we want to give him. And then we pour back to him. And he's okay with some of our doubts that we have. He will work us through those. And that's what he's doing for this group of people. He's working them through the doubts. Then Jesus came to them and said, There's a big pause between some doubted and then. I wonder all what happened. I want to know in the fine print between halfway through that verse when some were doubted, some were worshiping, and then there's a then. Between the end of that one statement and the beginning of the next, there's something that happens. Jesus ministers to them people, to those 11 guys. And it's powerful in their life. I think it's things that they talked about for the rest of their life. And they were convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, he had defeated death, and he was going to enable them to forgive, to defeat death in their life. He was going to give them all that God's love had for them. And then he said, and then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said this, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you until the very end of the age." Therefore, go, he said. Therefore, go, guys, people, he said. Last week, I walked the mission. I walked the mission that was going to unlock God's love to this world. The whoever's in this world, we're going to experience the love of God. And I unlocked that this last week, and now it's your mission. Easier said than done, but it's your mission. This is your mission. I did my mission last week, and I'm going to continue to work in your lives, and I'm going to continue, because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Then I want to hand you this mission. I want to hand you this big envelope of God's love, and I want you to go and tell the world, go to the rich and the poor. Go to the young and the old. Go to the nice and the naughty. Go to the easiest and the hardest. Go to the near and the far. The mission is now ours, New Lifers. The mission is now ours. Jesus did it. And now on this first Easter Sunday morning with an outdoor service with Jesus and just 11 guys, this is his message. I did it. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And now I'm going to enable you and empower you, and I'm going to give you the most incredible mission that you have ever been given. It's not to go out and do anything particular in this world other than reaching people with Jesus Christ. And you might be doing that. You might be a nurse, and you might be a doctor, and you might be a factory worker, and you might be a construction worker, and you might be retired, and you might be one thing or another, but the reality is the mission has been given to you and me. The first Easter Sunday morning, this was the message that Jesus brought to these men. They had gone and met with Jesus in an outdoor service on the top of a mountain somewhere. And Jesus says, I want you to know that I'm the living Savior. Let me prove that in your life. If you got doubts, I'll prove it to you. I'll give you all the evidence that you need that I am living, that you can trust me, that I am alive in your world today. And then I want to give you this. I want to give you this amazing mission that is now for you to carry into this world. I did not unlock this love of God just so it could stay under a rock or stay under a bushel. We sing the old song when we were kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then we would sing, and I can remember going to Bible school with my grandmother, Young Hickory Baptist Church in New York State. And all of a sudden, you're going to hide it under a bushel. And then everybody would get, the only time I really got to scream in Bible study. And Bible school said, no, I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. Let me show you who I am. Let me come into your life and make it real. And then let me give you this mission of going into this world and making disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples. He said, this is the end. This is Jesus' whole Easter Sunday morning message to 11 guys. And whatever happened between some doubted and then was some of the message as well. But he comes with this. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Share the good news of God's love that has been opened through Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples. Go and tell all the people about Jesus. Go and come alongside. Listen to, let the Spirit lead you in your life. And God's going to open up doors. Listen, new lifers and people from the community or whoever we are here this morning, children of the Most High God. Maybe you're the ones that are worshiping. Maybe you're the ones that are doubting. But children of the Most High God. God says, I want you to go and let people know that Jesus lives. They can face tomorrow because Jesus lives. God's love has been unlocked because Jesus lives. I got a message to carry into this world. Hiding under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, the little song goes. I won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine all over. And then we would say the town that we live in. Let it shine all over East Freedom. Let it shine all over Martinsburg. Let it shine all over Hollidaysburg. Let it shine all over Altoona. Let it shine all over Blair County. Let it shine all over Pennsylvania. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This is a message that God has given us. Jesus went to the cross so you and I could experience the havoc this message to tell a lost world that needs Jesus so much. Go and make disciples, he said. Easier said than done. You're right. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Assisting them in showing their relationship and allegiance to Jesus. Come alongside them and don't forsake them. When they come to Christ, walk with them. Walk into the water with them. Have them be baptized. Let them show their allegiance and their relationship to Jesus through baptism. Take the steps with them, I think he's saying. And then teaching them to walk in their faith. Teaching everything I have commanded you. Help them in walking out their relationship with Jesus. Can you give me just a few more minutes this morning? And I want to respond. I want to respond to Jesus' sermon. I want to respond. I personally want to respond to what Jesus has given in his first sermon here. I want to be the one who goes to the altar and says, Jesus, I want that in my life. I want to respond to that, Jesus. I believe in authority of heaven and earth has been given to you. And I believe you'll be with me to the end of the age. And I believe you want me to make disciples. And I believe you want me to walk with them. And I believe that you want me to help them sort out the things of this life so they can walk out their faith. I believe and I want to respond to that this morning. I want to respond to that message this morning. I want to respond to the first Easter message. I'm not sure where you are in your faith journey. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to be leading him, leading me to go. And I want to go around this parking lot. And if I could, I would come to each window, and I would speak these next few words to each window. And because I want to go. I want to go to the cars, and I want to go to the vans, and I want to go to the SUVs and the trucks. I want to go to the Fords and the Chevys and the Dodges. I want to go to the Envoys of this world, the Escalades of this world, and the Escorts of this world. I want to go around this parking lot to the vehicles that are running real well, and I want to go to the vehicles that barely got here this morning. Because sometimes I think our vehicle represents us. And I want to go to the ones that are sitting on a full tank of gas, and I want to go to those ones that maybe coasted in here on fumes. And I want to go to the windows, and I want to go to those that are nice cleaned up cars, and those that need a shop back job. I want to walk around to every person that God opens up the door for me to walk around, and I want to tell them about Jesus. Do I want to be some freak, weirdo, Jesus freak? Yes! As God opens up the door for me, if Jesus went to the cross so that God's love could be unleashed in my life, and then he gives me the privilege and the responsibility to carry this into a lost and dying world, you bet I want to go. I want to go, and as I go, I want to go into all the reaches of this world. I want to go in each window of the cars in this parking lot. And I want to live out this first Easter message this morning. And if I was inside, if you got a handout this morning, it says D-E-W on it. Do. And I want to give you three words. This is what I would speak into each window here this morning. This is what I would speak. D-E-W, do. And if I was inside, I probably would have some cans of Mountain Dew. And I probably would be handing out some cans of Mountain Dew to those who I would reach out to you, and I would speak to you, and I would hand you. I would say, grab a Dew. And maybe I would even hand out some Code Red, saying, this is important. Grab the Dew this morning. I want to live out this message that Jesus has given me this morning. Here we go. Grab a Dew this morning. And so you're really getting like two messages this morning. Jesus' message, and then what he has prompted my heart to do this morning in response to that message, because I want to respond to the message that Jesus has given to his disciples, because I believe he lives. Because I believe that he is a living Savior. And I believe that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And I believe that he'll be with us to the end of the age. And I believe that he has given me the great responsibility and the best privilege to carry that unwrapped love of God into this world. So here we go. Grab a Dew this morning. Give me just a few more minutes this morning. Grab a Dew this morning. And I love it when I preach and the sun comes out. I don't know if we're gonna, how long we'll be carrying on this outdoor service, and I don't care if it's raining. You gotta run your windshield wipers. I'll have Tobin follow me around with a big umbrella or something, but I will not quit doing this. He's already volunteered to do that. He said, I'll follow you around. I'll follow you around because you and I have got the best message. Jesus went to the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to, and this world does not have to, because Jesus already accomplished the cross. But then he's giving it to you and me. Here we go. Grab a Dew. Amen. And I'm going to just jump into Hebrews 10 here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's the cross, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, since Jesus did all that on the cross, because Jesus is living, because Jesus went into the right, sits next to the right hand of the Father, you can do something with that. And I want to do something with that this morning. I want to bring it to each window this morning. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is what I would speak, and if I had cans of Mountain Dew and I was handing them around to you, I would say this: draw near to God. You need this refreshing dew, this refreshing part of this message is that you and I can draw near to God. You and I can draw near to God because of what Jesus has done in this world. Because the love has been unlocked by the cross. Because Jesus went to the tomb. Because he was resurrected by the Father. You and I can draw near to God. I don't care where you have been in your past. I don't care how shaded your past is. I don't care how good you think your past is or how horrible it is. You can draw near to God. God says, I want you to draw near to me. Draw near because of all that Jesus did. And that's what Jesus is telling the 11 disciples up on the mountain. Tell them that they can draw near to God now. Tell them they can be a disciple. Tell them they can know Jesus. Tell them that I live. Tell them they can draw near to God. Tell them that I got love for them. Tell them I got a forgiveness for them. Tell them you can draw near to God. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in an escalator or you're in an escort. You can draw near to God, and you need to draw near to God. So as you grab the do this morning, as you grab the D this morning, on this Easter 1993 years later, after Jesus preached the message that he preached to the 11, I want to say it's still good for today. God is not quarantined. God does not need social distance. And he's bringing it into our life, and you can draw near to him. You will not catch anything from God other than maybe forgiveness. To draw near, come near, come near to me, come near, come near. So we hear, I want to proclaim that to this world. I want to know that yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not those who had it all right, not those who read enough of the Bible, not those who had gone to church enough in their life, but to whoever would believe, he said, I gave the right to become children of God. You can draw near to me because it has nothing to do with what you have done. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done. And that is draw near to me, he said. Draw near to God. Come near, James says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So draw near to God. In verse 23, let us hold unswervingly of Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And he who began a good work in you, it says in Philippians, he who began a good work, have confidence in this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Embrace God's way. If you're going to grab a dew this morning, and if I had some Mountain Dews, I'd be carrying it around, and I'd be handing it to you. I'd say, you draw near to God, and then I would say this, embrace God's way, because God's way is the best. It's not the easiest way. Man makes his plan, but God directs his steps. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. You got to embrace if you want to walk with God. You got to embrace God's way. You can't walk away from God and walk with God at the same time. So as we grab a dew this morning, let's walk it out with God. Let's embrace God's way this morning. No matter where it takes me, God, no matter if it takes me, I will need courage and strength, and I'll need a little holy grit to be able to walk it out with God. It's not easy to walk it out with God in this world. But he said, you can embrace my way. And sometimes in Psalm 23 is what comes to my mind the most. Sometimes it's easier to walk in the green pastures. Thank you, God. I want to embrace your way when I'm in the green pastures. I want to embrace your way when I'm beside the quiet waters. But I don't know about God when you walk me through the valley of the shadows. God said, keep coming. Keep coming. Embrace my way because I won't let you alone. My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you. They're going to bring you out of that. Embrace his way when he sits you down at the table in the presence of your enemy. And he feeds you here on this earth. In the here and the now, he's feeding you with goodness and mercy as he wants you to walk it out. If we're going to grab a dew this morning, if we're going to respond, I'm responding to Jesus' message. And this is what I would tell each car. If I could come to each window, I would dress in a hazmat suit if I needed to. And come to each window and say, draw near to God. You can, because Jesus paid it all. And embrace God's way in your life. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take courage. It's going to take grit. It's going to be different maybe than what you've walked before. But embrace God's way, because he wants to take you to the next level. He wants to unleash more of himself into your life. And then I would continue in that 10th chapter of Hebrews, and it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us pour courage into each other. Encourage, that's what that means. Encourage, to pour courage into each other. And just so you know, I think that's a benefit of a drive-in. That's a benefit of seeing you each other in a car. We pour courage into each other. We need courage from each other. He said, you're going to walk it out with God. You're going to draw near to God. And you're going to embrace his way. But you need to walk it out with God's people. You're going to walk with God's people, he said. You need the people that love God. You need to connect the people that love God and that love you. That's where you need to get. If you're going to walk out your faith in this earth, you got to walk it out by drawing near to God. You got to walk it out by embracing God's way. And you got to walk it out by walking with God's people, those people that love God and love you. And just so you know, when people love us, doesn't mean they have to sign on to everything that we're doing in our life. Sometimes it's hard to walk with people that are walking with God. To be honest, sometimes we're hypocrites and we're judgmental as well. Forgive us, God, for that. Jesus, on his first Easter Sunday morning message, took 11 guys to an outdoor service. And he said this, guys, I did it. I've unlocked God's love. And what I want you to do now is I want you to carry this love into this world. So I come in my heart and in my mind. And as yesterday, I spent the time rolling each one of those pieces of paper that come into your cars this morning. And I slipped the cross over each paper. I didn't ask anybody to help me with that. Because as I rolled, I said, God, wherever car this finds, may they know that the love of God is all about them. And may they know that the cross has paid it all. And may they know that they can draw near to God. And may they know that they can embrace God's way. And may they know that they can find a body of people that are walking out their faith, that they can walk with one, two, or three, or 50. That they can find someone who would walk out their faith and walk with them. So this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, 2020, draw near to God, embrace his way, walk it out with God's people, and watch what God's going to do in your life. How do I end this service? Maybe I would sing Power in the Blood again. Maybe I would sing that he's the way maker. The promise keeper. New lifers and people that have joined us today. Jesus paid it all. And he's given us this amazing message. And that amazing message is this, simply, you can draw near to God. You can embrace God's way. And you can walk with God's people. And you will experience the fullness of God. Everything that he has for you on this earth today. I do care about what's going on in our world today. I do care about the concern and the chaos that it's contained. but I will not shut up about Jesus. I will not give more time to the news than I give to Jesus. Because I don't know what else is going to go on in our world, but our world is not going to be carefree all of our life. There are people in this midst that you're in this coronavirus thing too, and some of you have experienced great heartache in your life. You've buried grandparents, and you've lost children, and you've experienced some challenges, and you've had diagnoses that weren't good, and you've been in the hospital, and there's always going to be something in our lives, either corporately or individually. Know that that stuff will not push Jesus out of your life. You can draw near to God. You can walk out you can walk in God's way. You can embrace God's way, and you can walk it out with us. We'll walk with you. Let me pray this morning. God, once again, I say thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this trailer. I thank you for this sound system. I thank you for each car that's here. I thank you for those cars that have driven here, those trucks, those SUVs. I thank you for each person that's in each car. And as they look at the cross has been delivered to each car this morning. Each car has a cross. And not only may we embrace that cross, but may we carry that cross to this world that so desperately needs Jesus. And let them know that they can draw near to God. They can embrace God's way. And they can walk it out with people that love God. Father, I pray that as we put our cars in gear here a few moments, start them up, and as we head out and as we wave to each other on the way out, may we celebrate in the fact that our Jesus lives. And I can face tomorrow. God, I think I would surely sing that I would turn my eyes upon Jesus. I would look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, thank you for these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.